This is Morning Edition on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Elizabeth Harrison. A little more than 300 students in Rhode Island and 1,200 in Connecticut are anxiously waiting to find out whether they'll be able to transfer credits and money they paid to the Sawyer School, a now defunct career training school that shut down without warning at the start of the new year. State police, federal officials, and education officials spent the weekend going through Sawyer School offices. And here to talk about what they found is State Office of Higher Education spokesman Mike Trainer. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. Thanks for having me over.
What did you find over the weekend as you searched Sawyer School buildings for student records?
Well, I think the most important thing is we did identify where the records have been stored. We have secured them in that facility. And we've begun the process of inventorying what's what and beginning to develop a process for distribution of those records out to the affected students.
And what shape did you find the records in?
It's a mix of paper record keeping with some digital record keeping. The precise proportion between the two I'm not aware of right now, but it is a mix of digital and paper.
And given that not all of these records are digital, how long do you think it's going to take to connect these records with students?
Well, our first priority is to get records out to students who have a pressing need for them, and those would be those students who are looking for an immediate transfer to another school or those who are seeking employment and would need their transcripts for that purpose. We have asked students to through our website to register on a priority basis. If you are pending a transfer or an employment offer, to let us know so we can put you at the top of that list.
And how long do you think this is going to take?
We hope to have a substantial portion of records distributed by the end of this week, but I can't get any more specific than that until we get a little further along in our process.
Now, Mike Trainer, there are federal loans and grants attached to some students locked out of school. What will happen to that money?
Per federal regulation, any student who has a federal student loan whose school closes and there is no convenient or equivalent place for them to transfer to, those federal loans will be forgiven. So that would be a bit of good news to those students who are worried about being left literally holding the bag on that. However, if they are able to transfer to an equivalent program and those monies are able to be transferred to the new school, then obviously the student would still be liable for the loan.
And any money that students have already paid, not grant or federal funded money, they just lose that?
Very much in question right now. We have been unable to determine factually whether or not the parent corporation has filed for bankruptcy. If that is the case, then those students who have hard cash in would have to line up with all the other creditors, unfortunately, and see what might be available to them.
There were apparently no warning signs that Sawyer School was going to abruptly close. What was in place that should have alarmed the state, and what should be in place to prevent another sudden closure like this?
I think it's important for your listeners to understand what our regulatory role is. With the 15 proprietary non-degree granting institutions that exist in Rhode Island, those schools are assigned to the Office of Higher Education for regulatory purposes. We have had in place for more than 30 years a fairly comprehensive set of regulations for schools of this sort. When it comes to annual checkups, if you will, our requirements have been a thorough review each year occurring over the summer of each of the school's physical facilities for adequacy for classroom space, for the quality of their academic offering, and finally for the stability of their finances. When we examined the Sawyer School's records in August of this year, we looked at an audited financial statement prepared by a New York-based duly licensed CBA firm, and those audited statements indicated absolutely no financial difficulty for the institution. So what happened in the intervening few months is at this point a mystery to us. It's something that we, along with the U.S. Department of Education, and I'm sure other parties are going to be interested in finding out more about.
That's concerning, a complete mystery, even to federal education officials.
Correct. They were as blindsided, if you were, as we were on this. And I must express the thanks of Higher Education Commissioner Ray DePasquale to our Rhode Island Congressional Delegation. Each of those four offices have been very proactive this past week in doing two things, contacting the U.S. Department of Education on our behalf and also coordinating with Senator Blumenthal in Connecticut. As a result of that, we've been able to receive, beginning this weekend, staff assistance directly from the U.S. Department of Education for the purpose of our continuing monitoring of the situation as well as the whole record retrieval.
So, Mike Trainor, are you saying that the Office of Higher Education doesn't have the staff it needs to continue this monitoring?
No, we certainly have the staff. The issue is how long would it take to get these records out, and we're wanting to do it in a timely manner. So the more bodies we can put at this, the sooner we're going to be able to get the records out to the students.
And Mike Trainor, you mentioned Friday that the Office of Higher Ed has its eye on a couple of other proprietary, that is, for-profit, non-degree-granting institutions. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, what I can say is that we always have our eye on these institutions. I think given the suddenness of this, it's given us cause to make sure that we're double and triple checking. And I can't really go into any more detail than that, other than saying there is no other school in any immediate danger of a closure such as the Sawyer School.
And now, according to the Federal Department of Education, more than a quarter of Sawyer School students default on their federal student loans within 3 years of graduating. What is the state's responsibility to educate students about the differences between for-profit, non-degree-granting schools like Sawyer and community colleges or RIC or the University of Rhode Island?
To the best of my knowledge, there's no written or regulatory imperative that that form of education of prospective students occur. We would hope that students are getting advice from their guidance counselors and from others before they make a decision as to whether you want to attend in this case, a proprietary non-degree granting institution or to go otherwise.
Students at Sawyer were spending nearly $21,000, I believe, for a program that doesn't even give you a bachelor's degree.
You know, our role is to regulate them from the standpoint of facilities, financial stability, and academic quality. We have no ability to have any impact on their pricing.
And in this case, it appears they were able to mask the truth of their financial stability.
Again, we went on audited financial statements available as of last August. What happened between August and December is, as I said before, it's a mystery. I'm sure that we will learn more about that in the weeks and months ahead. We would want any students or parents of students, friends and parents of students, to know that we are maintaining our hotline on a daily basis, staffed with people from our office between 8:30 and 5 to answer questions. It's important if students have a particular issue, such as I'm waiting to transfer, we need to know about that as soon as possible so we can prioritize their record distribution. And also to keep reminding people to check our website on a daily basis, we will be posting updates on particularly the schedule for record distribution on a daily basis.
Have you been hearing from many people?
We have thus far, I think, clocked about 150 phone calls on the hotline.
What kinds of things are you hearing?
Well, here's where you get the human element. You hear a lot of frustration, a lot of anger. The first day this broke, we had, I think about 30 students arrive in our office. And I remember in particular this one young lady, a single mom, who was quite upset and happened to comment, I was 2 weeks away from getting my certificate, and this would have been the first time in my life I had finished anything. And when you hear stories like that, you really begin to understand the human impact of this closure.
Mike Trainor from the Rhode Island Office of Higher Education, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me over.
Education reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant from the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation.